Chapter 6. Proclaiming the Three Angels' Messages. The time is now. If ever there was a time in the history of Seventh-day Adventists when they should arise and shine, it is now. No voice should be restrained from proclaiming the third angel's message. Let none, for fear of losing prestige with the world, obscure one ray of light coming from the source of all light. Make the most of present opportunities. Those who believe the truths of the third angel's message need now to make the most of every opportunity for service. Very soon we will have less favorable opportunity than we now have to proclaim this message of warning. We need today workers who are partakers of the divine nature, men who can put new life into the old methods of labor, and whom God can teach how to reach the men and women in the churches and in the world who know not of the issues that are just before them. Now, while we have opportunity, we need to cry aloud and spare not. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Let God work through those whom He chooses. He will use humble men who, moved by the Holy Spirit, will give a message that will stir the world. God's people not to fear. There is a marked contrast between those who bear the seal of God and those who worship the beast and his image. The Lord's faithful servants will receive the bitterest persecution from false teachers, who will not hear the word of God, and who prepare stumbling blocks to put in the way of those who would hear. But God's people are not to fear. Satan cannot go beyond his limit. The Lord will be the defense of His people. He regards the injury done to His servants for the truth's sake as done to Himself. When the last decision has been made, when all have taken sides, either for Christ and the commandments or for the great apostate, God will arise in His power, and the mouths of those who have blasphemed against Him will be forever stopped. Every opposing power will receive its punishment. Entire universe calls us to proclaim the message. Everything in the universe calls upon those who know the truth to consecrate themselves unreservedly to the proclamation of the truth as it has been made known to them in the third angel's message. That which we see and hear calls us to our duty. The working of satanic agencies calls every Christian to stand in his lot. Rapid advance requires many more laborers. All should feel an intense interest in the advancement of the third angel's message. The work of proclaiming this message has already grown to large proportions, but it is to advance still more rapidly. We need many more laborers, and God's loyal people, filled with a spirit of self-denial, should now give cheerfully and liberally in order that facilities may be provided for the entering of new territory. In many places, the work has been retarded because of the scarcity of means. The rebuke of God will rest upon those who do not come up to His help against the mighty powers of darkness. God will work through humble instruments qualified by His Spirit. As the time comes for it, the message of the third angel, to be given with greatest power, the Lord will work through humble instruments, leading the minds of those who consecrate themselves to His service. The laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of His Spirit than by the training of literary institutions. Men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. Conversion, or reconversion, is the preparation needed. We ought to long with all the heart for a thorough reconversion, that the truth may be enthroned in heart and mind, and that, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we may be prepared to present the third angel's message before others who need it so much. Now is our opportunity. May God help us that we may be converted. A unified message proclaimed in power. We are to bear a clean-cut message to the world. We are not to heed the counsels or follow the plans suggested by unbelievers. We are not to make less prominent the special truths which have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with eternal interests. The first, second, and third angels' messages are to be given to the world. These angels, spoken of in Revelation, represent a people who will proclaim the truth appropriate for the times. God has given us light through the prophet of Patmos in regard to the things which are now taking place in the last remnant of time. And with pen and voice, we are to proclaim the truth to the world, not in a tame, spiritless way, but in demonstration of the power of God. The work for this time is represented by the first, second, and third angels as they fly in the midst of heaven. The first angel's message loses none of its force because the second has followed, and the proclamation of the third angel's message does not make of no effect the previous messages. These angels with their messages represent the people of God as they present the truth to the world. The message will not be silenced. In the closing work of God in the earth, the standard of His law will be again exalted. False religion may prevail, iniquity may abound, the love of many may wax cold, the cross of Calvary may be lost sight of, and darkness, like the pall of death, may spread over the world. The whole force of the popular current may be turned against the truth. Plot after plot may be formed to overthrow the people of God. But in the hour of greatest peril, the God of Elijah will raise up human instrumentalities to bear a message that will not be silenced. In the populous cities of the land, and in the places where men have gone to the greatest lengths in speaking against the Most High, the voice of stern rebuke will be heard. Boldly will men of God's appointment denounce the union of the church with the world. Earnestly will they call upon men and women to turn from the observance of a man-made institution to the observance of the true Sabbath. Mountains of difficulties will be removed. There is to be, at this period, a series of events which will reveal that God is master of the situation. The truth will be proclaimed in clear, unmistakable language. As a people, we must prepare the way of the Lord, under the overruling guidance of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is to be given in its purity. The stream of living water is to deepen and widen in its course. In all fields, nigh and afar off, men will be called from the plow and from the more common commercial business vocations that largely occupy the mind and will be educated in connection with men of experience. As they learn to labor effectively, they will proclaim the truth with power. Through most wonderful workings of divine providence, mountains of difficulties will be removed and cast into the sea. The message that means so much to the dwellers upon the earth will be heard and understood. Men will know what is truth. Onward, and still onward, the work will advance until the whole earth shall have been warned. And then shall the end come. Be quick to recognize the turning of the wheel of providence. From quarters where we least expect will come voices urging us forward in the work of giving to the world the last message of mercy. Ministers and people, wake up! Be quick to recognize and seize every opportunity and advantage offered in the turning of the wheel of providence. God and Christ and the heavenly angels are working with intense activity to hold in check the fierceness of Satan's wrath, that God's plans may not be thwarted. God lives and reigns. He is conducting the affairs of the universe. Let His soldiers move forward to victory. Let there be perfect unity in their ranks. Let them press the battle to the gates. As a mighty conqueror, the Lord will work for them. Proclaim with no faltering hesitancy. The first, second, and third angels' messages are to be proclaimed with no faltering hesitancy, but with power from on high. We know in whom we have believed. We know that as we obey His word to us, He will give to our words power that will convict and convert souls. To be shared judiciously in its true dignity, God has a work to be done which the workers have not yet fully comprehended. Ministers and the world's wise men are to be tested by the light of present truth. The third angel's message is to be set before them judiciously in its true dignity. There must be most earnest seeking of God, most thorough study, for the mental powers will be taxed to the utmost in laying plans which will place the work of God on a more elevated platform. Reveal the truths through deeds of loving ministry to teachers in our schools, to ministers and physicians and nurses. I would say, if you will, you can succeed in revealing the truths of the third angel's message. This will not be done merely by preaching the word, but by deeds of loving ministry. It is the spirit of the word that we so greatly need. Those who have the spirit of Christ will work his works. Proclaimed by young and old, all ages to prepare to sound the message of Christ's righteousness. From one end of the world to the other, the message of Christ's righteousness is to be sounded from human lips to prepare the way of the Lord. The closing message, even the third angel's message, is to be proclaimed during this period of the world's history. The youth, the middle-aged, and the aged are to act a personal part in preparing their own souls for the great event that is soon to take place, even the second coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven. In thus doing, they may reflect light upon many other souls. Children will carry the message. As the children sang in the temple courts, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Mark 11, verse 9. So in these last days, children's voices will be raised to give the last message of warning to a perishing world. When heavenly intelligences see that men are no longer permitted to present the truth, the Spirit of God will come upon the children, and they will do a work in the proclamation of the truth which the older workers cannot do, because their way will be hedged up. Young people to be involved. Study should be given to the best methods for fitting consecrated young men and young women to bear responsibility and to win souls for Christ. They should be taught how to meet the people and how to present the third angel's message in an attractive manner. Formerly indifferent persons will become engaged in service. In the closing work of the third angel's message, many who have long stood in the marketplace as indifferent idlers will heed the divine commission and engage in active service for the Master. God has places of usefulness in the home field and in the regions beyond that may be filled acceptably by the most humble men of varied talent, even if human hands may never be laid on them in ordination. Long has he waited for the missionary spirit to pervade the entire church, so that everyone shall work, in some part of the world, as in the sight of the hosts of heaven. From city to city, the truth to shine in the great thoroughfares of travel. The truth is not to be hidden in the corners of the earth. It must be made known. It must shine in our large cities. Like Christ, the messengers of the Most High today must take their position in the great thoroughfares of travel, where they can meet people from all parts of the world. Like Him, they are to give the true light. They are to sow the gospel seed. They are to rescue truth from its companionship with error and present it in its original simplicity and clearness, so that men may comprehend it. The third angel's message is a worldwide message. It is to be given to all cities, to all villages. It is to be proclaimed in the highways and the byways. the most difficult areas not to be overlooked, the solemn, sacred message of warning must be proclaimed in the most difficult fields and in the most sinful cities, in every place where the light of the great threefold gospel message has not yet dawned. Everyone is to hear the last call to the marriage supper of the Lamb. From town to town, from city to city, from country to country, the message of present truth is to be proclaimed, not with outward display, but in the power of the Spirit. As the divine principles that our Savior came to this world to set forth in word and life are presented in the simplicity of the gospel, the power of the message will make itself felt. In this age, a new life, coming from the source of all life, is to take possession of every laborer. Oh, how little do we comprehend the breadth of our mission! We need a faith that is earnest and determined, and a courage that is unshaken. Our time for work is short, and we are to labor with unflagging zeal. Gain an entrance into the cities. The Lord is speaking to His people at this time, saying, "Gain an entrance into the cities, and proclaim the truth in simplicity and in faith." The Holy Spirit will work through your efforts to impress hearts. Introduce no strange doctrine into your message, but speak the simple words of the gospel of Christ, which young and old can understand. The unlearned as well as the educated are to comprehend the truths of the third angel's message, and they must be taught in simplicity. If you would approach the people acceptably, humble your hearts before God and learn His ways. Honest souls in the cities are waiting for a knowledge of the messages. The words were spoken to me. Tell my people that time is short. Every effort is now to be made to exalt the truth. In the cities, large and small, the message is to be proclaimed. The third angel's message is to be united with the second angel's message and is to be proclaimed with great power in our large cities. Thus will be given with a loud voice the message that is to prepare a people for the coming of the King. The situation in all the large cities must be studied, that the truth may be given to all the people. In these large cities, the Lord has many honest souls who are becoming confused by the strange developments in the religious world. There are many who have been waiting to hear the certain sound of the message that would meet the emergency. All over our land, the Lord has honest souls who are standing in uncertainty. The words were spoken. Repeat the messages in their order. Tell my people to proclaim the message, the binding off message, that is to prepare a people for the coming of the King. Give the world a knowledge of the messages of the first, second, and third angels. Bind up the law among my disciples. There are many who will listen because men will speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You are 20 years behind, but let the warning voice now be heard, speaking with the voice of assurance. Carry the message from city to city. In the third angel's message, we have a truth that is to be worldwide. It must be carried from village to village and from city to city. Then do not, because you have a comfortable home and good church privileges, keep your light under a bushel. Let it shine forth that it may give light to all. God bids you hunt up the people that know not the truth of the Word of God, that you may acquaint them with it. Include cities where the messages were first proclaimed. All these cities of the East, that is, the Eastern United States, where the first and the second angels' messages were proclaimed with power, and where the third angel's message was preached in the early days of our history as a separate, peculiar people, must now be worked anew. There is Portland, Maine, there is Boston, and all the many towns round about. There is New York City, and the populous cities close by. There is Philadelphia, and Baltimore, and Washington. I need not enumerate all these places. You know where they are. The Lord desires us to proclaim the third angel's message with power in these cities. We cannot make the proper impression ourselves, but God can move upon hearts with the words uttered by His messengers, so that men and women will be affected and will see of the salvation of God. As we work with all the strength that God grants us, and in humility of heart, putting our entire trust in Him, our labors will not be without fruit. Our determined efforts to bring souls to a knowledge of the truth for this time will be seconded by holy angels, and many souls will be saved. The Lord never forsakes His faithful messengers. He sends to their aid heavenly agencies and accompanies their labors with the power of His Holy Spirit to convict and to convert. All heaven will endorse your appeals, to be proclaimed in the business world. A great work is before us, the closing work of this earth's history. Solemn indeed is the time in which we are living, and heavy the responsibilities resting upon us as a people. The third angel's message is now to be proclaimed, not only in far-off lands, but in neglected places close by, where multitudes dwell unwarned and unsaved. Our cities everywhere are calling for earnest, wholehearted labor from the servants of God. The message for this time is now to be proclaimed earnestly in the great business world. Day after day, the centers of commerce and trade are thronged with men and women who need the truth for this time, but who gain no saving knowledge of its precious principles because earnest, persevering efforts are not put forth to reach them where they are. Proclamation involves all ministries, to be proclaimed by all of God's people and institutions. This is a time for the Lord's servants to work with undiminished zeal to carry the third angel's message to all parts of the world. The work of this message is spreading far and near, yet we should not feel satisfied, but hasten to carry to thousands more the truth regarding the perpetuity of the law of Jehovah. From all our institutions of learning, from our publishing houses, from our sanitariums, the message is to be proclaimed. The people of God everywhere are to be aroused to cooperate in the great, grand work represented by the first, second, and third angels' messages. This last warning to the inhabitants of the earth is to make men see the importance God attaches to His holy law. So plainly is the truth to be presented that no transgressor, hearing it, shall fail to discern the importance of obedience to the Sabbath commandment. The purpose of our institutions, God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world, is to prepare a people to stand true to Him during the investigative judgment. This is the purpose for which we establish and maintain our publishing houses, our schools, our sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, and food factories. This is our purpose in carrying forward every line of work in the cause. Schools. Thorough training essential. The third angel is represented as flying in the midst of heaven, showing that the message is to go throughout the length and breadth of the earth. It is the most solemn message ever given to mortals, and all who propose to connect themselves with the work should first feel their need of an education, of the most thorough training. Plans should be made and efforts put forth for the improvement of those who anticipate entering any branch of the work. The purpose for our schools. When the truth for these last days came to the world in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages, we were shown that in the education of our children, a different order of things must be brought in. But it has taken much time to understand what changes should be made. Our work is reformatory, and it is the purpose of God that through the excellence of the work done in our educational institutions, the attention of the people shall be called to the last great effort to save the perishing. In our schools, the standard of education must not be lowered. It must be lifted higher and still higher, far above where it now stands. But the education given must not be confined to a knowledge of textbooks merely. The study of textbooks alone cannot afford students the discipline they need, nor can it impart true wisdom. The object of our schools is to provide places where the younger members of the Lord's family may be trained according to His plan of growth and development. The third angel's message, the great testing truth for this time, is to be taught in all our institutions. God designs that through them this special warning shall be given, and bright beams of light shall shine to the world. Time is short. The perils of the last days are upon us, and we should watch and pray and study and heed the lessons that are given us in the books of Daniel and the Revelation. We shall have to stand before magistrates to answer for our allegiance to the law of God, to make known the reasons of our faith. And the youth should understand these things. They should know the things that will come to pass before the closing up of the world's history. These things concern our eternal welfare, and teachers and students should give more attention to them. By pen and voice, knowledge should be imparted which will be meet in due season, not only to the young, but to those of mature years also. In every case, the great decision is to be made whether we shall receive the mark of the beast, or his image, or the seal of the living God. And now, when we are on the borders of the eternal world, what can be of so much value to us as to be found loyal and true to the God of heaven? What is there that we should prize above his truth and his law? What education can be given to the students in our schools that is so necessary as a knowledge of what saith the Scriptures? Publishing houses. Publishing houses also represented by the angel. Let it never be forgotten that these institutions are to cooperate with the ministry of the delegates of heaven. They are among the agencies represented by the angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. Publishing houses lift the standard. The great and wonderful work of the last gospel message is to be carried on now as it has never been before. The world is to receive the light of truth through an evangelizing ministry of the word in our books and periodicals. Our publications are to show that the end of all things is at hand. I am bidden to say to our publishing houses, lift up the standard, lift it up higher. Proclaim the third angel's message that it may be heard by all the world. Let it be seen that here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Let our literature give the message as a witness to all the world. Includes publications. The tract and missionary work is an important part of the third angel's message. Canvassers must go out into various parts of the country. The importance of this work is fully equal to that of the ministry. The living preacher and the silent messenger are both required for the accomplishment of the great work before us. Present the message in short, conclusive arguments. The third angel's message embraces more than the finite mind of man comprehends. The earth is to be lightened with its glory. The truth must be published far more extensively than it yet has been. It must be defined in clear, sharp lines before the people. It must be presented in short but conclusive arguments, and plans must be laid that every meeting where the truth has been set before the people, it may be followed by the distribution of tracts and pamphlets. Health journals can do a special work. The people are in sad need of the light shining from the pages of our health and temperance journals. God desires to use these journals as mediums through which flashes of light shall arrest the attention of the people and cause them to heed the warning of the message of the third angel. Our health journals are instrumentalities in the field to do a special work in disseminating the light which the inhabitants of the world must have in this day of God's preparation. They wield an untold influence in the interests of health and temperance and of social purity reform, and will accomplish great good in presenting these subjects in a proper manner and in their true light to the people. Health institutions and medical workers. Health principles given to prepare a people for Christ's return. I was again shown that the health reform is one branch of the great work which is to fit a people for the coming of the Lord. It is as closely connected with the third angel's message as the hand is with the body. The law of 10 commandments has been lightly regarded by man, but the Lord would not come to punish the transgressors of that law without first sending them a message of warning. the third angel proclaims that message. Had men ever been obedient to the law of 10 commandments, carrying out in their lives the principles of those precepts, the curse of disease now flooding the world would not be. To make plain natural law and urge the obedience of it is the work that accompanies the third angel's message to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. A special work connected to the three angels' messages. Those who have had the privilege of hearing the truth are to give the trumpet a certain sound in proclaiming the third angel's message, which embraces all included in the first and second messages. Special lines of work are to be taken up and carried practically, such as the medical missionary work. This work should be done in connection with the gospel message for this time. Health reform is to stand out more prominently in the proclamation of the third angel's message. The principles of health reform are found in the Word of God. The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the Word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great effort to proclaim the gospel message. Health message and entering wedge for the gospel. I want to say that the third angel's message is the gospel, and that the health reform is the wedge by which the truth may enter. There are to be no abrupt declarations of any phase of our truth, but the truth as it is in Jesus is to be preached, and all the brightness and special radiance of the Son of Righteousness brought into the gospel. When properly conducted, the health work is an entering wedge which will make an opening for other truths to find entrance to the heart. When the third angel's message is received in all its fullness, health reform will be given its place in the councils in the conference, in the work of the church, in the home, at the table, and in all the household arrangements. Then the right arm will work to serve and protect the body. The Lord desires His church to be a perfect body. Not all arms, not all body without arms, but body and arms together, every member working as one great whole. As the right arm is connected with the body, so the health reform and medical missionary work is connected with the third angel's message, and is to work efficiently as the right arm for the defense of the body of truth. Prejudice removed through health ministry. Much of the prejudice that prevents the truth of the third angel's message from reaching the hearts of the people might be removed if more attention were given to health reform. When people become interested in this subject, the way is often prepared for the entrance of other truths. If they see that we are intelligent with regard to health, they will be more ready to believe that we are sound in Bible doctrines. This branch of the Lord's work has not received due attention, and through this neglect, much has been lost. If the church would manifest a greater interest in the reforms through which God Himself is seeking to fit them for His coming, their influence would be far greater than it now is. God has spoken to His people, and He designs that they shall hear and obey His voice. Although the health reform is not the third angel's message, it is closely connected with it. Those who proclaim the message should teach health reform also. It is a subject that we must understand in order to be prepared for the events that are close upon us, and it should have a prominent place. Satan and his agents are seeking to hinder this work of reform, and will do all they can to perplex and burden those who heartily engage in it. Yet none should be discouraged at this, or cease their efforts because of it. The gospel practiced. By the ministry of the word, the gospel is preached. By medical missionary work, the gospel is practiced. The gospel is bound up with medical missionary work. Neither is to stand alone, bound up in itself. The workers in each are to labor unselfishly and unitedly, striving to save sinners. The standard is to be uplifted, and the atonement of Christ presented as the grand central truth. The medical missionary work is to the cause of God as the right arm of the body. The third angel's message goes forth, proclaiming the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Medical missionary work is the gospel in practice. All lines of the work are to be blended in a complete whole in giving the invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." Luke 14, verse 17. Christ to be revealed in our health institutions. The purpose of our health institutions is not first and foremost to be that of hospitals. The health institutions connected with the closing work of the gospel in the earth stand for the great principles of the gospel in all its fullness. Christ is the one to be revealed in all the institutions connected with the closing work, but none of them can do it so fully as the health institution where the sick and suffering come for relief and deliverance from both physical and spiritual ailment. Many of these need, like the paralytic of old, the forgiveness of sin the first thing, and they need to learn how to go and sin no more. If a sanitarium connected with this closing message fails to lift up Christ and the principles of the gospel as developed in the third angel's message, it fails in its most important feature and contradicts the very object of its existence. Attention drawn to the message through health restaurants and treatment rooms. I have been instructed that one of the principal reasons why hygienic restaurants and treatment rooms should be established in the centers of large cities is that by this means, the attention of leading men will be called to the third angel's message. Noticing that these restaurants are conducted in a way altogether different from the way in which ordinary restaurants are conducted, men of intelligence will begin to inquire into the reasons for the difference in business methods and will investigate the principles that lead us to serve superior food. Thus, they will be led to a knowledge of the message for this time. The physician's unique viewpoint. Those who are Christian physicians may do a precious work for God as medical missionaries. Too often, so many things engage the minds of physicians that they are kept from the work that God would have them do as evangelists. Let the medical workers present the important truths of the third angel's message from the physician's viewpoint. Physicians of consecration and talent can secure a hearing in large cities at times when other men would fail. As physicians unite with ministers in proclaiming the gospel in the great cities of the land, their combined labors will result in influencing many minds in favor of the truth for this time. Countless are the opportunities of the physician for warning the impenitent, cheering the disconsolate and hopeless, and prescribing for the health of mind and body. As he thus instructs the people in the principles of true temperance, and as a guardian of souls gives advice to those who are mentally and physically diseased, the physician is acting his part in the great work of making ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is what medical missionary work is to accomplish in its relation to the third angel's message. Medical missionary workers. The world's need today cannot be met fully by the ministry of God's servants who have been called to preach the everlasting gospel to every creature. While it is well, so far as possible, for evangelical workers to learn how to minister to the necessities of the body as well as of the soul, thus following the example of Christ, yet they cannot spend all their time and strength in relieving those in need of help. The Lord has ordained that with those who preach the word shall be associated his medical missionary workers, Christian physicians and nurses who have received special training in the healing of disease and in soul winning. Combine the medical missionary work with the proclamation of the third angel's message. Send into the church workers who will set the principles of health reform in their connection with the third angel's message before every family and individual. Encourage all to take a part in work for their fellow men, and see if the breath of life will not quickly return to these churches. Medical missionary work is to be closely connected with the ministry of the Word, bound up with the third angel's message, the last message of mercy and warning to be given to the guilty world. The work of health reform is to be bound up with the gospel. These cannot be separated, for God has united them. When these parts of the work are carried forward on correct lines, the third angel's message will be given in accordance with God's purpose. As closely connected to the message as the arm and hand to the body, we have been instructed by the Lord that the medical missionary work is to be to the work of the third angel's message as the right hand to the body. The right hand is used to open doors through which the body may find entrance. This is the part the medical missionary work is to act. It is to largely prepare the way for the reception of the truth for this time. In giving honor to the body, honor must also be given to the helping hands, which are agencies of such importance that without them, the body can do nothing. Therefore, the body which treats indifferently the right hand, refusing its aid, is able to accomplish nothing. The health reform, I was shown, is a part of the third angel's message, and is just as closely connected with it as are the arm and hand with the human body. I saw that we as a people must make an advance move in this great work. Ministers and people must act in concert. God's people are not prepared for the loud cry of the third angel. They have a work to do for themselves, which they should not leave for God to do for them. He has left this work for them to do. It is an individual work. One cannot do it for another. God has shown that health reform is as closely connected with the third angel's message as the hand is with the body. There is nowhere to be found so great a cause of physical and moral degeneracy as a neglect of this important subject. Those who indulge appetite and passion and close their eyes to the light for fear they will see sinful indulgences which they are unwilling to forsake are guilty before God. Whoever turns from the light in one instance hardens his heart to disregard the light upon other matters. Whoever violates moral obligations in the matter of eating and dressing prepares the way to violate the claims of God in regard to eternal interests. Our bodies are not our own. God has claims upon us to take care of the habitation He has given us, that we may present our bodies to Him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Our bodies belong to Him who made them, and we are in duty bound to become intelligent in regard to the best means of preserving them from decay. The medical missionary work is as the right arm to the third angel's message, which must be proclaimed to a fallen world. And physicians, managers, and workers in any line, in acting faithfully their part, are doing the work of the message. Thus the sound of the truth will go forth to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. In this work the heavenly angels bear a part. They awaken spiritual joy and melody in the hearts of those who have been freed from suffering, and thanksgiving to God arises from the lips of many who have received the precious truth. Health message to be united but not preeminent. Not to be made the body. Again and again, I have been instructed that the medical missionary work is to bear the same relation to the work of the third angel's message that the arm and hand bear to the body. Under the direction of the divine head, they are to work unitedly in preparing the way for the coming of Christ. The right arm of the body of truth is to be constantly active, constantly at work, and God will strengthen it. But it is not to be made the body. At the same time, the body is not to say to the arm, "I have no need of thee." The body has need of the arm in order to do active, aggressive work. Both have their appointed work, and each will suffer great loss if worked independently of the other. The work of preaching the third angel's message has not been regarded by some as God designs it should be. It has been treated as an inferior work, while it should occupy an important place among the human agencies in the salvation of man. The minds of men must be called to the Scriptures as the most effective agency in the salvation of souls, and the ministry of the Word is the great educational force to produce this result. Those who disparage the ministry and try to conduct the medical missionary work independently are trying to separate the arm from the body. What would be the result should they succeed? We should see hands and arms flying about, dispensing means without the direction of the head. The work would become disproportionate and unbalanced. That which God designed should be the hand and arm would take the place of the whole body, and the ministry would be belittled or altogether ignored. This would unsettle minds and bring in confusion, and many portions of the Lord's vineyard would be left unworked. The union that should exist between the medical missionary work and the ministry is clearly set forth in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. There is wisdom and blessing for those who will engage in the work as here presented. This chapter is explicit, and there is in it enough to enlighten anyone who wishes to do the will of God. It presents abundant opportunity to minister to suffering humanity, and at the same time to be an instrument in God's hands of bringing the light of truth before a perishing world. If the work of the third angel's message is carried on in right lines, the ministry will not be given an inferior place, nor will the poor and sick be neglected. In His Word, God has united these two lines of work, and no man should divorce them. Because of the ever-increasing opportunities for ministering to the temporal needs of all classes, there is danger that this work will eclipse the message that God has given us to bear in every city. The proclamation of the soon coming of Christ, the necessity of obedience to the commandments of God, and the testimony of Jesus. This message is the burden of our work. It is to be proclaimed with a loud cry, and is to go to the whole world. In both home and foreign fields, the presentation of health principles must be united with it, but not be independent of it, or in any way take its place. Neither should this work absorb so much attention as to belittle other branches. The Lord has instructed us to consider the work in all its bearings, that it may have a proportionate, symmetrical, well-balanced development. Not to be independent. The health reform is as closely related to the third angel's message as the arm to the body, but the arm cannot take the place of the body. The proclamation of the third angel's message, the commandments of God, and the testimony of Jesus is the burden of our work. The message is to be proclaimed with a loud cry and is to go to the whole world. The presentation of health principles must be united with this message, but must not be independent of it or in any way take the place of it. Not to eclipse the message. The time has come when health reform will be received in its importance by many in high places and in low places. But we are to allow nothing to eclipse the message we have to bear. The third angel's message, connected with the messages of the first and second angel. We must not allow minor things to bind us in a small circle, where we cannot obtain access to the people at large. God does not sanction the pushing forward of one line of work without regard to other lines. He designs that the medical missionary work shall prepare the way for the presentation of the saving truth for this time, the proclamation of the third angel's message. If this design is met, the message will not be eclipsed, nor its progress hindered. The gospel to be the leading power, God did not design that the medical missionary work should eclipse the work of the third angel's message. The arm is not to become the body. The third angel's message is the gospel message for these last days. In no case is it to be overshadowed by other interests and made to appear an unessential consideration. When in our institutions anything is placed above the third angel's message, the gospel is not there the great leading power. The cross is the center of all religious institutions, ministering to the unprivileged a part, but not the whole. Of late, a great interest has been aroused for the poor and outcast classes. A great work has been entered upon for the uplifting of the fallen and degraded. This in itself is a good work. We should ever have the Spirit of Christ, and we are to do the same class of work that He did for suffering humanity. The Lord has a work to be done for the outcasts. There is no question but that it is the duty of some to labor among them, and try to save the souls that are perishing. This will have its place in connection with the proclamation of the third angel's message and the reception of Bible truth. But there is danger of loading down everyone with this class of work because of the intensity with which it is carried on. There is danger of leading men to center their energies in this line when God has called them to another work. The work for the poorer classes has no limit. It can never be gotten through with, and it must be treated as a part of the great whole. To give our first attention to this work, while there are vast portions of the Lord's vineyard open to culture and yet untouched, is to begin in the wrong place. As the right arm is to the body, so is the medical missionary work to the third angel's message. But the right arm is not to become the whole body. The work of seeking the outcasts is important, but it is not to become the great burden of our mission. Both home and foreign missions should be conducted in connection with the ministry of the Word. The medical missionary work is not to be carried forward as something apart from the work of the gospel ministry. The Lord's people are to be one. There is to be no separation in His work. Time and means are being absorbed in a work which is carried forward too earnestly in one direction. The Lord has not appointed this. He sent out His 12 apostles and afterward the 70 to preach the word to the people, and He gave them power to heal the sick and to cast out devils in His name. The two lines of work must not be separated. Satan will invent every possible scheme to separate those whom God is seeking to make one. We must not be misled by his devices. The medical missionary work is to be connected with the work of the third angel's message, as the hand is connected with the body, and the education of students in medical missionary lines is not complete unless they are trained to work in connection with the church and the ministry.